Hey everyone, welcome to this deep dive. We're going all in on the iPhone 17 Air today. All those rumors you've been hearing, the leaks, the whispers, we're diving deep into those and giving you the inside scoop before anyone else. So strap yourselves in because we've got leaks from Apple insiders, reports from tech journalists like Bloomberg's Mark Gurman, for instance, and even those whispers straight from the supply chain itself. So this is more than just specs. We're talking a potential complete redesign, whispers of foldable tech, and even design cues from, dot, wait for it,
Whoa,
Quiddle.
from Google.
Yeah.
That's interesting. The leaks really do point to something much bigger than just like a simple upgrade here.
Right.
It seems like maybe a complete overhaul of Apple's design philosophy,
Yeah.
setting the stage for like the new generation of iPhones altogether.
Yeah, so everybody's talking about how unbelievably thin this phone could be. I mean, we're hearing that the iPhone 17 Air might be the thinnest iPhone ever. Serious?
Thinner than a supermodel on a juice cleanse.
Wow.
That's what they're saying.
Well, multiple sources are backing that up. We've got reports from places like 9to5 Mac and Bloomberg suggesting we're looking at a phone that could be a full 2 millimeters thinner than the iPhone 16 Pro, which is already pretty slim in its own right.
I mean, just to give everyone some context here, let's do the math.
Okay.
The iPhone 16 Pro, it's 8.25 millimeters thick.
Right.
So if you shave off 2 millimeters from that, we're talking a potential 6.25 millimeters for the Air.
That's tiny.
To put it into perspective, the famously thin iPhone 6 was 6.9 millimeters, and iPhones have only gotten thicker since then.
Right, to fit in bigger batteries,
All of those.
better camera systems, all that tech we love.
Absolutely.
So to get a phone that thin requires some serious magic. I mean, we're talking miniaturization of components, a total rethink of how everything fits together inside.
Yeah, it really makes you wonder what kind of trade-offs might be necessary to pull this off.
That is the big question, isn't it? But before we jump to potential trade-offs, there's something that's really fascinating to me about all this. The rumors that Apple is finally using its own in-house 5G modem.
This is big news.
Yeah.
Apple's been working on its own modem for years now,
Right.
aiming to ditch Qualcomm. Qualcomm's the company that supplies the chips for all those cellular connections, basically cutting the cord.
So why is that such a big deal?
It's all about control.
Okay.
See, Apple wants tighter control over their hardware and software,
Okay.
and that means making their own key components.
Got it.
And what Mark Gurman has reported is that this new in-house modem is actually smaller
Okay.
and more power efficient,
Got it.
which is absolutely essential for getting that super thin design.
Makes sense. Smaller modem. More space for other things.
Maybe a bigger battery
Right. Who
or a
knows?
mini projector.
Yeah, maybe not a projector, but you get the idea. So hold on. Have there been any concerns about this modem, though?
There have. I
Okay.
mean, while the final modem design is supposed to be much improved from what we've heard,
Yeah.
Gurman did report that early prototypes
Yeah.
had some issues, overheating, power drain, you name it.
Really?
And even the final version, according to his sources, isn't quite as powerful as Qualcomm's latest modem.
Interesting. So it seems like there might be a trade-off here.
Potentially.
Thinner phone, maybe longer battery life thanks to that in-house modem, but maybe slightly less powerful connectivity.
It's possible.
Would you be willing to make that trade-off?
I don't know. It depends.
Yeah.
I think it really comes down to personal preference.
All right.
I mean, some people might be totally fine with a little dip in performance
Yeah.
if it means having a phone that practically disappears in their pocket.
Yeah, I could see that. But wait, there's another design twist that has everyone buzzing, and this one's a little unexpected.
Okay, what is it?
Okay, so leaked images of the Air's frame show a horizontal camera layout.
Horizontal.
Yeah, and you want to know what's even crazier?
Right.
It looks a lot like, drumroll, Google's Pixel phones.
Seriously.
Yeah. It's true. The leaked images from Creative Block and GS Marina, they show a clear
I've
resemblance.
seen those.
Yeah.
It's definitely raised some eyebrows.
Yeah. Is Apple taking design cues from Google?
I mean, are design trends just converging?
I don't know.
It's hard to say for sure.
Wait, hold on. Would Apple really copy Google?
Well,
Isn't that like a major fashion crime in the tech world?
Maybe not. I mean, design trends do often evolve in parallel.
Right.
And Apple has never been shy about borrowing ideas that work well.
Yeah.
Even from competitors.
Sure.
So it's possible they just see some real benefits in this horizontal camera layout.
I'm not so sure about that. GS Marina pointed out some potential ergonomic issues with having the camera lenses
right.
so high up on the phone.
Yeah.
Like you might accidentally cover the lenses with your fingers when you're holding it.
Oh.
That doesn't sound very user-friendly.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So is Apple sacrificing practicality for aesthetics?
That's the question, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I guess we'll have to wait for the official unveiling to really see how they've addressed this.
Yeah.
What do you think? Do you see this Pixel-esque design as a good thing or a potential fumble?
I am a bit skeptical, to be honest.
Okay.
I mean, I love a sleek design, but not if it means compromising how I actually use the phone.
Right.
But hey, maybe Apple has some secret ergonomic magic up their sleeve.
It's possible.
Let's move on to something that has me really intrigued. The rumors that this Air might actually be a stepping stone cool. to something even bigger.
What's that?
Foldable iPhones.
Hold on to your hats, folks.
I am.
Because this is where things get really mind-blowing.
Yeah.
A report from DigiTimes suggested that the Air could be a testing ground for Apple's foldable ambitions.
Whoa.
Think about it. To get a phone this thin.
Yeah.
Apple has to make some major engineering breakthroughs.
Right.
And those same breakthroughs could easily be applied to building those complex foldable devices.
So making the iPhone crazy thin isn't just about aesthetics.
Right.
It's about laying the groundwork for a whole new kind of phone.
Exactly.
That's wild. I'm picturing an iPhone that folds out into a tablet.
Yeah.
I mean, you could watch movies on a plane, read comics in bed. The possibilities are endless.
All right.
But let's be real for a second.
What?
Folding phones have had their share of problems, haven't they?
They have. You remember those early foldable phones?
Yeah.
You know, some of them had those issues with screens cracking.
Yeah.
Or creasing at the fold. But technology is always advancing.
Right.
And if Apple can figure out how to make a truly durable, reliable, foldable phone, well, that could really change everything.
Okay, so thinner design, potential foldable future, in-house modem. It sounds like Apple is swinging for the fences with this iPhone.
Yeah.
But there's one big elephant in the room we haven't talked about yet.
What's that?
The price tag.
Ah, yes, the million-dollar question.
Right.
And as with everything else about the Air,
yeah.
The rumors are all over the place.
Yeah.
Some sources are claiming it'll be Apple's new top-of-the-line model.
Wow.
Even pricier than the iPhone 16 Pro Max.
Oh, wow.
Which already starts at $11,299.
For the base model.
For the base model.
Yeah. Are we talking about a phone that could cost over $1,300?
I mean, it's possible.
What could possibly justify a price tag that high?
That's the debate, isn't it? It's just the ultra-thin design.
Right.
The in-house modem.
Yeah.
The possibility of a foldable future?
Yeah.
Or is Apple just relying on that brand cachet, you know, that aura of exclusivity that makes people willing to pay a premium just for their products?
I mean, I get it. Apple products have a certain coolness factor. But at the end of the day, it's still a phone.
Right.
I need to be able to make calls.
Yeah.
Browse the web.
Take pictures. Fit in your pocket.
Yeah, and fit in my pocket.
Right.
I'm not sure a super thin design alone would convince me to shell out that much cash.
It's a good question.
What do you think?
That's where some of the other rumors come in.
Okay.
Analysts like Min-Chi Kuo believe that the Air will actually be positioned between the standard iPhone 17 and the Pro model.
Okay.
Maybe even taking the place of the Plus model altogether.
Okay, now that makes a little more sense price-wise.
Yeah.
But if the Air replaces the Plus, where does that leave the standard iPhone 17? Will it get a size upgrade to set it apart?
Yeah, it's definitely possible.
Okay.
I mean, there have been whispers that the standard iPhone 17 might get a larger display.
Yeah.
Maybe even matching the size of the current iPhone 16 Pro.
That
would give Apple a clear way to differentiate between the entry-level model and the Air.
Yeah.
In terms of size and features.
So picture this. You walk into the Apple store.
Yeah.
And you've got the standard iPhone 17, which is now the big boy on the block size-wise.
Right.
Then you've got the Air in the middle offering that blend of sleek design and solid performance.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, at the top of the food chain, you have the Pro models for the folks who want the absolute best of the best and don't mind paying a premium for it.
It's like a whole new iPhone ecosystem.
Right.
Exactly.
It'd be a clever strategy, letting them target a wider range of customers with different needs and budgets.
Right.
People who want a more affordable option can go for the standard model, while folks who crave a more premium design-focused experience can choose the Air.
Yeah.
And of course, the Pro models will always be there for the power users and tech enthusiasts.
Oh, my God.
It's like choosing your own adventure, but with iPhones.
That's a good way to put it.
Right. But all these options could make choosing a new phone a bit overwhelming, don't you think?
That's true. Having more choices can make things a bit more complicated.
Right.
But at the end of the day, it all comes down to
understanding
your own priorities.
Right.
I mean, what screen size do you need?
Right.
How important is camera quality to you?
Right.
Are you willing to pay a premium for a thinner, more stylish design?
Yeah.
These are all the questions you need to ask yourself before you even set foot in an Apple store.
Absolutely. It's all about weighing the pros and cons, figuring out your must-haves versus your nice-to-haves.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, keeping a close eye on that price tag.
For sure.
Speaking of price, I want to go back to the rumors about the Air potentially being super expensive.
Yeah.
It just seems like a risky move, doesn't it?
It does, especially considering Apple already increased prices across their entire iPhone lineup this year.
Right.
So pushing the price even higher for the Air.
Yeah.
I mean, that could really alienate a lot of potential buyers.
I agree. At a certain point, people are going to start questioning whether all those bells and whistles are really worth the extra cost.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a more affordable Air would be a smarter move in the long run.
Yeah.
It would make the phone accessible to a wider audience and could even put some pressure on competitors like Samsung to step up their game.
It's a compelling argument. I mean, remember, Apple is a business.
Right.
And they want to sell as many iPhones as possible.
Right.
So pricing the Air too high could backfire.
Uh-huh.
Especially if competitors are offering similar features at a lower cost.
It's a balancing act.
Yeah.
They want to maintain that premium image and those profit margins.
Right.
But they also need to stay competitive and make sure they're not pricing themselves out of the market.
Absolutely.
It's going to be fascinating to see how they position the Air and what kind of price tag they ultimately land on.
For sure. And let's not forget, the smartphone market is constantly evolving.
Right.
What seems groundbreaking today could be old news tomorrow.
Exactly.
So Apple needs to be strategic and make sure they're offering something truly unique and compelling if they want to command a premium price.
Okay, so we've talked about the Air's potential price, the foldable phone rumors, the in-house modem. Mm. It's a lot to take in.
It is.
But before we wrap up, I want to circle back to that horizontal camera layout for a second.
Okay.
It's still bugging me.
It's a head scratcher, isn't it? After years of sticking with that vertical camera layout, they suddenly decide to go horizontal.
Yeah.
What's the deal?
Yeah.
Is it purely aesthetics or is there something more to it?
It just feels a bit out of character for Apple to follow a design trend set by another company.
Yeah.
You know, this is a company that prides itself on innovation and setting the bar for the entire industry.
Right.
So what's the story here?
Yeah.
Are they just acknowledging that the horizontal layout works better ergonomically or functionally?
Mm-hmm.
Or are they trying to appeal to a wider audience?
Yeah.
Maybe even folks who are used to the Pixel's design.
Interesting.
I have a theory.
Oh.
Maybe Apple is testing the waters with this horizontal camera layout.
Okay.
You know, if it proves to be popular, maybe they'll roll it out to other iPhone models in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Or who knows, maybe they'll abandon it altogether if it flops.
Right.
It's a bit of a gamble.
It is. It's like a giant experiment.
Right.
But with millions of potential customers as the test subjects.
Exactly. And speaking of customers, what do you think the reaction will be to all these changes?
I don't know. I think people are going to have some strong opinions.
I think so, too.
Some will love the new design.
Yeah.
Others will hate it.
Right.
Some will embrace the in-house modem.
Mm-hmm.
Others will be skeptical.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out.
Absolutely. That's what makes following the tech world so much fun. It's always changing, always evolving, and there's always something new and exciting around the corner.
Well said. I don't want to spoil the surprise.
Okay.
But we do have one more part of this deep dive coming up.
Oh, really?
And it's a big one.
Okay.
We're going to delve into the financial side of things, exploring Apple's pricing strategy, the potential impact on the market, and what all this means for you, the consumer.
All right. Well, you heard it here first, folks.
That's right.
Get ready for a deep dive into the financial secrets of the iPhone 17 Air.
I can't wait.
We'll be back in a flash
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're talking about maybe a phone that could cost north of $1,300.
For a phone.
For a phone. I mean, it's a lot of dough.
Yeah.
Even if it is super thin and potentially folds in half.
I know. So what could possibly justify a price tag that high?
Well, that's the big question, isn't
yeah.
it? I mean, is it just that ultra-thin design, the in-house modem, the possibility of a foldable future?
Right.
Or is Apple just banking on their brand cachet? You know, that aura of exclusivity?
Right.
That makes people willing to pay a premium just for their products.
Yeah. I mean, Apple products do have a certain coolness factor to them.
They do.
But at the end of the day, it's still a phone.
Yeah, it is.
It needs to be able to make calls, browse the web, make pictures.
Of course.
And it has to fit in my pocket.
Right, right.
I'm not sure a super thin design alone would convince me to shell out that much cash.
Well, and that's where some of those other rumors come in.
Okay.
You know, analysts like Ming-Chi Kuo believe the Air will actually be positions between the standard iPhone 17 and the Pro model.
Okay.
Maybe even taking the place of the Plus model altogether.
Okay, so that makes a little more sense price-wise.
Yeah.
But if the Air replaces the Plus, where does that leave the standard iPhone 17?
That's a good question.
Yeah. Will it get a size upgrade to set it apart?
It's possible. There have been whispers that the standard iPhone 17 might get a larger display, maybe even matching the size of the current iPhone 16 Pro.
Okay.
That would give Apple a clear way to differentiate between the entry-level model and the Air.
Yeah.
In terms of both size and features.
Okay, so picture this. You walk into the Apple store.
Okay.
And you've got the standard iPhone 17, which is now the big boy on the block size-wise.
Right.
Then you've got the Air in the middle, offering that blend of sleek design and solid performance.
Uh-huh.
And then, of course, at the top of the food chain, you have the Pro models for the folks who want the absolute best of the best and don't mind paying a premium for it.
I mean, that's a pretty solid lineup.
Yeah.
It would be a clever strategy for Apple, letting them target a wider range of customers.
Right.
With different needs and different budgets.
Right. People who want a more affordable option can go for that standard model.
Right.
While those who want a more premium design-focused experience can go for the Air. And of course, the Pro models will always be there for the power users and the tech enthusiasts.
Exactly. I like it.
It's like choosing your own adventure.
Yeah.
But with iPhones.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Right. But all these options could make choosing a new phone a bit overwhelming, don't you think?
It's true. Having more choices can sometimes make things a bit more complicated.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it really all comes down to understanding your own priorities.
Mm-hmm.
What screen size do you need? How important is camera quality? Are you willing to pay a premium for a thinner, more stylish design?
Right.
These are the questions you need to ask yourself before you even set foot in an Apple store.
Absolutely. It's all about weighing the pros and cons, figuring out your must-haves versus your nice-to-haves.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, keeping a close eye on that price tag.
Absolutely.
Speaking of price, I want to go back to those rumors about the Air.
Okay.
Potentially being super expensive.
Yeah.
It just seems like a risky move.
It does. Especially considering that Apple already increased prices across the entire iPhone lineup this year.
I know.
Pushing the price even higher for the Air.
Yeah.
Could really alienate a lot of potential buyers.
Yeah, I agree. At a certain point, people are going to start questioning whether all those bells and whistles are really worth the extra cost.
Exactly.
Maybe a more affordable Air would be a smarter move in the long run.
It's possible.
It would make the phone accessible to a wider audience and could even put some pressure on competitors like Samsung to step up their game.
It's a compelling argument. Remember, Apple is a business at the end of the day.
Right.
And they want to sell as many iPhones as possible.
Right.
So pricing the Air too high could backfire, especially if competitors are offering similar features at a lower cost.
Yeah, it really is a balancing act.
It is.
You know, they want to maintain that premium image and those profit margins.
Of course.
But they also need to stay competitive and make sure they're not pricing themselves out of the market.
Absolutely.
So it's going to be fascinating to see how they position the Air and what kind of price tag they ultimately land on.
For sure. And let's not forget, the smartphone market is constantly evolving. You know?
Yeah.
What seems groundbreaking today could be old news tomorrow.
Right.
So Apple needs to be strategic and make sure they're offering something truly unique and compelling if they want to command a premium price.
Okay, so we've talked about the Air's potential price, the foldable phone rumors, the in-house modem.
Yeah.
It's a lot to take in.
It is.
But before we wrap up, I want to circle back to that horizontal camera layout for a second.
Okay.
It's still bugging me.
It is kind of a head scratcher, isn't it?
It is.
I mean, after years of sticking with that vertical camera layout,
yeah.
Why the sudden switch to horizontal?
Yeah, is it purely aesthetics or is there something more to it?
Good question.
It just feels a bit out of character for Apple to follow a design trend set by another company.
Right.
You know, this is a company that prides itself on innovation and setting the bar for the entire industry. Yeah. So what's the story here?
Yeah.
Are they acknowledging that the horizontal layout just works better ergonomically or functionally? Or are they trying to appeal to a wider audience, maybe even folks who are used to the Pixel's design?
Interesting.
I have a theory.
Okay, I'm listening.
Maybe Apple is just testing the waters with this horizontal camera layout.
Okay.
You know, if it proves to be popular, maybe they'll roll it out to other iPhone models in the future.
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe they'll abandon it altogether if it flops.
It could go either way.
It's a bit of a gamble.
It is, yeah. It's like a giant experiment.
Right.
But with millions of potential customers as the test subjects.
Exactly. And, yeah. And speaking of customers,
yeah.
What do you think the reaction will be to all of these changes?
I don't know. I think it's safe to say people are going to have strong opinions.
I think so, too.
Some will love the new design. Others will hate it.
Yeah.
Some will embrace the in-house modem. Others will be skeptical.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out.
Absolutely. That's what makes following the tech world so much fun.
I agree.
It's always changing, always evolving, and there's always something new and exciting around the corner.
Well said. Now, I don't want to spoil the surprise.
Okay.
But we've got one more part of this deep dive coming up.
Oh, really?
And it's a big one.
Okay.
We're going to delve into the financial side of things, exploring Apple's pricing strategy.
Okay.
The potential impact on the market and what all of this means for you, the consumer.
All right. Well, you heard it here first, folks.
That's right.
Get ready for a deep dive into the financial secrets of the iPhone 17 Air.
I can't wait.
We'll be back in a flash.
Sounds good.
Okay, so we're back and ready to tackle the financial side of this iPhone 17 Air.
Yeah, the price tag.
Because let's be real.
Absolutely.
That price tag is a make or break factor for a lot of us.
Most of us, yeah.
Yeah.
And with all these rumors swirling around.
Right.
It's hard to know what to expect.
Yeah, we've heard whispers of everything from a super premium price point to something more mid-range.
Right.
Some sources are even saying it could be more expensive than the iPhone 16 Pro Max, which, as a reminder, starts at $11,199.
For the base model.
For the base model.
Yeah.
Are we really talking about a phone that could cost over $1,300?
It's possible.
What could possibly justify that kind of price tag?
Well, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
Right.
I mean, is it just the super thin design?
Yeah.
The in-house modem? The potential for foldable tech down the line.
Right.
Or is Apple just banking on their brand power?
Yeah.
You know, that cool factor
that
just makes people want to shell out the big bucks.
Right. Apple products have that undeniable cool factor.
They do.
But at the end of the day, it's still a phone.
Right.
It needs to make calls, browse the web, take decent pictures. Oh, and it has to fit in my pocket.
Of course. Of course.
I'm not so sure thinness alone is worth emptying my entire bank account.
I hear you. And that's why some of the other rumors are particularly interesting.
Okay.
Analysts like Ming-Chi Kuo,
mm-hmm.
they're suggesting the Air might actually be positioned between the standard iPhone 17 and the Pro model.
Okay.
It could even replace the Plus model altogether.
Okay. Now that makes a little more sense.
Yeah.
Price-wise.
Price-wise, yeah.
But then if the Air replaces the Plus,
uh-huh.
what happens to the standard iPhone 17?
Right.
I mean, would it get a size upgrade?
It's possible.
Huh?
There have been rumors that it might get a larger display.
Okay.
Maybe even matching the size of the current iPhone 16 Pro.
Oh, wow. That
would give Apple a pretty clear way to differentiate between the entry-level model and the Air.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of both size and features.
Right. So imagine this. You walk into the Apple store.
Yeah.
And you've got the standard iPhone 17, which is now the big guy size-wise.
Right.
Then you've got the Air in the middle.
Yeah.
Offering that balance of sleek design and performance.
Right.
And then, of course, at the very top,
they've
got those Pro models for the diehard techies and power users.
Exactly. It's a strategy that could really work well for Apple.
Yeah.
You know, being able to cater to a wider range of customers with different needs and different budgets.
Right. Those who prioritize affordability could go for the standard model.
Right.
People who want a more premium design-centric experience can opt for the Air.
Exactly.
And the Pro models are there for those who demand the absolute best.
Exactly.
So it's like an iPhone choose-your-own-adventure.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
But having all those options could make choosing a new phone a little overwhelming.
It's true. Having more choices can sometimes make things more complicated.
Yeah, for sure.
But ultimately, it comes down to just knowing what you need and what you're willing to pay for.
Yeah.
I mean, do you need a massive screen? Is camera quality super important to you?
Right.
Are you willing to spend extra for a thinner, more stylish design?
Those are the questions.
Those are the questions you got to ask yourself.
You got to ask yourself.
Before you walk into that Apple store.
Before you even walk into the Apple store. Exactly.
Right. It's all about figuring out your priorities.
Uh-huh.
And speaking of priorities.
Okay.
Let's talk about Apple's pricing strategy.
Right.
I mean, they've been steadily increasing iPhone prices over the past few years.
They have.
Do you think they're pushing their luck?
It's a valid concern. At a certain point, you know, consumers might start to balk at those ever-increasing costs.
Yeah.
Especially when competitors are offering, you know, similar features at lower prices.
Right. I mean, it's a delicate balancing act.
It is.
They want to maintain that premium brand image.
Of course.
And those profit margins.
Right.
But they also need to stay competitive.
Yeah.
And make sure they're not pricing themselves out of the market.
Absolutely. Yeah. And let's not forget, you know, the global economic climate.
Oh, right.
If things get a little tougher economically.
Yeah.
People might be less willing to shell out those big bucks for a new phone.
Right.
No matter how cool it is.
Yeah. So Apple needs to be smart about how they position this Air.
Yeah.
And how they ultimately set that price.
For sure.
Too high, and they risk losing customers.
Right.
Too low, and they risk kind of cheapening their brand image.
It's a tough call. But one thing's for sure.
Right.
Apple is a master. Yeah. Marketing and pricing strategy.
They've done this before.
They have. They've got a lot of data, and they're going to use it to figure out exactly how to maximize those profits.
Right.
While still appealing to a broad range of customers.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm really curious to see how this all plays out.
Me too.
But I have a feeling no matter what the price tag is,
yeah,
the Air is going to be a hit.
I think you're right. People love new iPhones.
They do.
And this one's packed with so much potential.
It is.
You've got that super thin design, that powerful in-house modem, and maybe even a glimpse into that foldable future.
It's exciting.
It is. It's going to be an exciting launch.
All right. So there you have it, folks.
That's right.
We've explored the design, the tech, the potential price tag, and all the strategic considerations behind this iPhone 17 Air.
It's been a lot.
It has been a lot. It's been really interesting to follow
what
started as just a collection of rumors turn into this really fascinating deep dive.
Yes.
Into the world of smartphones and innovation and, you know, Apple's constant drive to push the boundaries of what's possible.
They always do.
Well, it's been a pleasure exploring this with you.
Likewise.
And as always, I guess the real test is going to be how consumers respond when the Air finally hits the shelves.
Right. Will it live up to the hype? Will it redefine the smartphone?
No.
Only time will tell.
But one thing's for sure, we'll be watching closely.
We will.
And we'll be back with more deep dives into the world of tech. So stay tuned.
Sounds good.